It is a great joy for us to welcome back to our pulpit again the Reverend Michael Yottinen. Our brother, as you know, is the minister of our London Free Presbyterian Extension work. And Aunt Karen was here yesterday, his wife, to be part of the women's breakfast. And she brought that time a message in song. And our brother has been ministering there now for over a year. And perhaps he would just bring us a brief update on how the work is going. I know that you've been remembering the work in prayer, and your support for him and for the people there have been very encouraging to them. We had the joy just a couple of weeks ago of being down in London with members of our session to have a meeting, and it was just a great opportunity for us to be there. We really enjoyed the fellowship, the prayer meeting, and then a board meeting afterward, and then some time of refreshment. And it's encouraging for us to see the work going on at this point in time. And so we just would encourage you all to don't let off praying. I know our brother would encourage you to do that, to be holding them up before the Lord earnestly, that God would move and break through and just bring the souls to Christ for whom he died, that there might be that blessed rejoicing one with another for what the Lord has done. So our brother Mike, you're very welcome here. May God bless you, brother.
Very much. Well, please turn with me this evening to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. We'll be looking at the book of Ruth, chapter 1. And I certainly do count it a privilege and a blessing to be here to minister the word of God to you. It's always encouraging to return home again. In fact, as I was driving to Toronto from London this afternoon, it reminded me of the many times that Karen, my wife, and I, we commuted back and forth from Ajax down to London to hold a morning service. Well, I must say I'm very thankful that we're living in London now and that I don't have a four-hour commute every Lord's Day. It's nice to be just going a short distance. But we're thankful for what the Lord has done for us in London. We have been very encouraged. We've had folks coming into the services, and we've been very thankful for that. In fact, we put an ad in the newspaper every week, and that is our best source of outreach into the community. A majority of people do read the local newspaper down there. They see our ad. In fact, there was a gentleman that came just a number of weeks ago who said that he had been seeing our ad and was curious about who we were and what we were about and came along. So we've been very thankful for that. And we're also looking forward to our spring outreach. We are also doing a spring outreach like you folks here. We had printed some 7,500 invitation postcards that we will be mailing out. In fact, we're going to be focusing on many apartment buildings where our meeting place is located. In fact, we're meeting in a library. There are many apartment buildings. So we're focusing on the apartment buildings, those type of places you can't normally get to with a door-to-door type of outreach. So we're praying that the Lord will bless these invitations, and especially the gospel verse. We have put a gospel verse on it, and that the Lord will bless his word. And if they don't come along to the church, at least see the word of God and be touched by it. I mean, that's our purpose, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with folks. So and that's what we're endeavoring to do. And also, we're very thankful that Toronto is sharing their Gospels of Matthew with us, and we have received 2,000 of those. And Lord willing, we'll be putting packages together, the same as you folks will be, and going door to door delivering them. And so, as you have mind to pray for your own outreach, please pray for us in London, and that the Lord will bless as we bring God's Word out into the community, and that hearts will be touched. We want to see souls saved. I mean, that's the whole purpose of our ministry, to see the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forth with power, that the Spirit of God would apply his word to many hearts, and that we would reap a harvest for the honor and glory of King Jesus. But we're very grateful to the Lord for blessing our little group. We still are a small group. We are meeting in the library week after week, and that has worked out very, very well for us. Also, I'm very thankful I was able to get another job at a printing company. It's a small printing company. In fact, there's three people that work there: my boss, another girl who's a secretary and designer, and then I am the production manager. Of course, I'm the only person in production, so it's okay to have a title like that. But that has worked out very, very well. My boss is a believer, so that is very, very encouraging. And just last week, I had an opportunity to witness to Angie. She's the other girl. She's not a believer, so we at times have a bit of downtime, so we just sort of chat, and I was able to share with her a little bit of Christ. So pray for Angie, the girl that I work with, that the Lord would use His Word to touch her heart as well. God makes no mistakes. He places us in certain positions, certain places, so that we might have a testimony for Jesus Christ. And so continue to pray for us in London, that the Lord will prosper this work, that it will grow and develop, and that we would see the gospel to go forth in that place. Please, again, turn with me to the book of Ruth. We will be having a traditional Mother's Day message tonight. I was talking to our brother Tony, and I'm thankful he was able to preach the gospel. But my focus tonight will be on the mothers of the congregation. Not to say that God's truth can apply to all, but we want to specifically have a message geared towards the mothers here tonight. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, and we will read the entire chapter together. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Machlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her, the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? And there yet any more sons in my womb that may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them until they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen, and we believe the Lord will bless the reading of His precious, holy, and infallible word. Let us just bow in a word of prayer, and we'll ask the Lord to bless His word to our hearts tonight. Let us all pray. Loving Father in heaven, we do praise and thank Thee for the word of the living God. Thy word is truth, and we pray, O Lord, as we now look into Thy word, we pray that the Spirit would quicken every heart, that the word of God would find a resting place in every heart, that we would be pointed to Christ, our Savior, once again. Father, we're thankful that it's Christ's blood and His righteousness that is to apply to everyone that believeth and trusted in Him. And Lord, we pray that truly Thou wilt draw nigh to every heart and apply Thy word and Thy truth. And Father, we specifically remember the mothers. We're thankful for Mother's Day. We're thankful for godly mothers. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help them raise their children in truth. And Father, that they would be enabled to point their children to the Savior at a very early age, and that they would be established in the gospel. Lord, it's no easy task to raise children. We pray that Thou wilt help and bless in times of difficulties, times when life is challenging, and that mothers would know much of the grace and the help of God. And so be with us now and help us as we look into Thy truth. May Christ be glorified in our midst once again. May all be pointed unto Him. We ask it in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Well, this evening, as we look at the book of Ruth, chapter 1, I'd like to consider briefly the lives of two mothers. One who endured great tragedy and affliction in the loss of her husband and her sons, but the other mother who started life as an idol worshiper to become one who became a very godly person, who then had children. In fact, her children were in the line of Christ, in the line of David to Christ, the royal line of the Savior. Now, the faith and prayers of mothers can obviously have a profound effect and impact on the lives of their children. Remember from the Old Testament, there was Hannah. Hannah was one who prayed that the Lord would bless her with children. She was barren at that time. And she declared unto God, if the Lord was to bless her with a son, that that boy would be dedicated unto the Lord. And the Lord prospered Hannah, prospered her praying, and blessed her with a child that was dedicated unto God and was used of God for the extension of His kingdom and His glory. Also, you have in that letter to Timothy, Paul referred to the faith of Timothy's mother, who raised him in the fear of God, was ultimately blessed with a boy who loved and labored for Jesus Christ. I mean, isn't that our desire as parents? That our children would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ very early in their life? Well, that desire is fulfilled truly as we pray for our young people, pray for our children, especially as mothers, that you seek the Lord, that our children would, and your children would be established in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I read a story. There was a pastor's wife who was a woman of prayer. And whenever her husband left for an important meeting or visit, she prayed for him that the Lord would guide him, protect him, grant him wisdom and strength as he would be traveling, and that he would be returned home safely. But when she prayed for her husband, she usually prayed aloud. And the children often heard her praying, often saw her testimony in the home and how she interceded to God on behalf of them as a family. And she never thought much about the impact that that would have on her children. I mean, as you go about your daily activities, you don't realize what you do and say and the type of impact it might have on the children that are in your home. And so imagine this mother's delight that when her daughter grew up and was on her way to college, the daughter said that leaving home would be much easier because she knew that her mother would be praying for her. And she was comforted by that. I mean, it's always a very difficult thing for a young person to leave home for the first time. But this young lady, she saw the testimony of her mother and the faith that she had in the Lord and the fact that the mother would be praying for her. And so how important it is as a mother to be praying for your children to uphold a godly testimony, especially in the home, because your children are watching you and your children are taking note in how you are in your relationship with God. This evening, we have two mothers here in the book of Ruth. And one mother had a profound impact upon the other, because you have Naomi and Ruth. And Naomi obviously had a very profound impact on Ruth, so that she changed her entire outlook on life, left her homeland, and desired to cling to Naomi, not even let her go, wanting to return back to her homeland, Israel, not only to be with her and her people, but also to be with her God. And I mean, that's the most important thing, isn't it? That she desired to be with the Lord God, the God of truth, and not to return again to the land of Moab, where there would be false worship, false gods, a false faith that led to nowhere. And so she desired truth. But it was through the impact of Naomi, her mother-in-law, that she wanted to go on to the land of Israel. So I want to consider tonight, as we look at this passage, the impact of godly mothers and how important they are upon the family. Why did Ruth desire to leave her own family, her own background, and travel to a foreign land with her mother-in-law? Well, Ruth then must have saw something in Naomi that made her desire to stay with her. There must have been a testimony in the home, something about her that she wouldn't leave her for anything. But first we must understand that they lived in very difficult times and very difficult circumstances. Life was not easy in those days, because the story of Ruth happens during the time of the judges. And during the time of the judges, there was no king, and every man did that which was right in their own eyes. The book of Judges is the story of Israel at one of its lowest points in history. It's a record of division, even of cruelty, apostasy, civil war, national disgrace. In fact, spiritual speaking, it was one of the worst times in the nation, when the minority sought God rather than the majority. And often they were led away worshiping idols and everything else. And God was forced to punish them time and time again. And so this is the time period in which Ruth and Naomi, the family, were living. And they also faced a great famine, as we read there in chapter 1 and verse 1. And it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Certain men of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And so, obviously, it was a great dirge. There was not the food supply that should have been there. And so they felt that they had to leave and to go to another place in order to support themselves. So not only was it a time of spiritual difficulty, physical difficulty, and they had to move away. They had to leave. They were facing very difficult times. But second, we also must understand that Naomi herself had failings. She wasn't the perfect mother or mother-in-law. I mean, we all feel the frailties of the flesh. And as we look at ourselves and how we conduct ourselves in the home, we're not always perfect. Well, Naomi was that. I mean, by going 50 miles in the neighboring land of Moab, Naomi went along with abandoning God's land, abandoning God's people for the land and the people that were their enemies. They traveled to the land of Moab. The Moabites were descendants of Lot from his incestuous union with his firstborn daughter. And they were the Jews' enemies because of the way they had treated Israel during their pilgrim journey from Egypt to Canaan. It was Moab that stood in the way and caused them great difficulty. In fact, even during the time of the judges, Moab had invaded Israel and ruled over the people for 18 years. And so they were masters over them. They afflicted them. They caused them to enter into slavery. So why would this family leave Judah and carry on to Moab for help? I mean, they were a very proud people, and God even declared in the Psalms that Moab is my washpot, a picture of humiliation as the nation washing the feet of the conquered soldiers. So why is it that they would go there? Why to Moab? They had made a decision, and as you consider things from the surface, a decision out of God's will, even, when they went to Moab. This led to another bad decision, that they would allow their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, to be married with the women of Moab. Mahlon married Ruth, Chilion married Orpah. Remember, Jews were forbidden to marry Gentile women, especially those from Ammon and Moab. And so they seemed to be going way out of God's will, leaving the promised land, that which would ultimately be the land that God was there and would bless, but then allowing the children to be married to heathen women. And so, obviously, Naomi had failings. I mean, she had allowed some things that were not quite correct. And they had planned only to sojourn temporarily in Moab, but they remained there for 10 years, as it says in chapter 1, verse 4. At the end of the decade, leaving Judah, all that remained, remember, as they had gone out full, now they returned empty. In fact, they were fleeing to save their lives. But now you had three widows, the loss of the father and the two sons. And things were very, very difficult indeed. And such is a sad consequence of those who even go out of the Lord's will. But yet, despite Naomi's failings, Ruth saw in her mother-in-law something that was notable, something that stood out. And because of that, she was not willing to leave her. Naomi expresses appreciation to both of her daughter-in-laws in verse 8. Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you've dealt with the dead and with me." And so her desire was that the Lord would deal kindly with her, not that she herself would bless them, or say, "Well, I hope everything works out for you. Everything goes well. It's time for you to leave. I can't do anything for you anymore." But no, her desire was that the Lord would bless them. The Lord would deal kindly with them. And the Lord would direct them. And she expresses good wishes for them. It's almost as a prayer for them. In verse 9, "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." And so the Lord would give rest to them, would provide for them, undertake for them. And their weeping shows a bond of love between them. In verse 9, "And as she wished the Lord's blessing upon them, that she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept." They wept. And so, Naomi, in this situation, is exalting the Lord and showing them the testimony of the Lord, that the Lord would be with them and bless them, be the one to direct their life. The word "Lord" there is in all capitals. And so that's Jehovah, Jehovah God, that one who is the personal Savior of His people. Not the general term for God, like Elohim, but Jehovah, the personal Savior. Shows that she ultimately had a heart for these girls, and that the Lord certainly would bless them to some degree. And there was a teacher who gave her class of second graders a lesson on magnets and what a magnet does. The next day, after she had taught the lesson on magnets, she gave them a written test. Now, I know there's a few teachers in here, and there's nothing like giving your students tests in the hopes that they will answer all the questions correctly. I was a teacher, and I look forward to hopefully having students take in everything that I taught them and reproduce everything that I taught them back upon the test paper. But in this case, that didn't happen. When she gave them the test, she included this question: "My name has six letters. The first one is an M. So the first of the six letters was an M. I pick things up. What am I? And so that was the question. When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that almost 50% of the students answered the question not with the word magnet, I mean, that's what she was expecting, but they answered with the word mother. It's mother is the one who picks everything up. Yes, mothers do certainly pick things up, and mothers are very, very important, but they are much more than magnets, that's for sure. I mean, I'm sure mothers here can identify with the fact that there's always clothes to be picked up, toys to be picked up. Children seem to rush to the house and leave everything in a mess. And you're having to follow after them sometimes. And no, get this to its right place, put that away, and make sure you keep your space clean. That can be a very, very challenging job. And as willing as many mothers are to do such chores, they certainly have a higher calling. A good mother loves her family, provides an atmosphere where each member can find acceptance, security, understanding, and be pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. And she is there when the children need a listening ear, a comforting word, a warm hug, a loving touch, especially when children are upset with one thing or another. And for the Christian mother especially, her greatest joy is in teaching her children to trust and love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We must always, as parents, be pointing our young people to Jesus Christ. He is the answer for life's challenges, life's difficulties, especially when, and even within ourselves, we're not happy with life and how it's going. Because apart from Jesus Christ, there is no happiness. There is no joy. There is no fulfillment. Christ is all in all. And so here is Naomi, despite her failings, despite the fact that at times she had even got out of the will of God, leaving Israel, going to Moab, allowing her sons to marry heathen women. Yet despite that, she had faith in the living God and pointed those young people to the living God. And even though it did not have an impact on one of them, it certainly had an impact on Ruth and made all the difference in her life. Mothers, make sure that you're living a testimony for Jesus Christ in your home, because you know that your children are watching you and they see a difference. When, especially if we say we're Christians, but we're not truly living it out. May you be living out your Christianity, and that your children will see that example and then desire to follow in your steps. She also saw how Naomi handled grief in the home. There was great grief in this family. The grief was real. In fact, when you look at chapter 1, verse 21, it says there, and this is Naomi speaking, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" And here was a mother who lost her husband, a mother who lost her two sons. I mean, can you imagine being one who loses a loved one like that? Losing a child, one that you've raised, and then they're suddenly taken away. I mean, I'm always reminded of Job, and I mean, his response, and how when he lost everything, he honored and glorified God. But Job's wife was not so inclined. I mean, remember her words? I mean, what did she say? "Curse God and die, Job. Curse God and die." I mean, she allowed bitterness to lay hold upon her heart. She did not have a godly reaction to the situation that she was placed in. I mean, Job, he saw the big picture. He knew that God was sovereign. God was in control. God was directing his life. And even though God would take everything from him, he was going to glorify the Lord, because that was his trust, that was his rock, that was his foundation. Well, mother, grief comes. Grief can be real. And the trials and tribulations of life, well, they are those that sometimes even make us feel like we're overwhelmed. But that's where we need to trust in the Lord our God even more and more and more. And so here is Ruth, or I should say here is Naomi, filled with grief. But yet she did not allow that grief to destroy her faith. And she certainly complained against God, and that's understandable, but she believed. And in the time of great affliction, in the time of her greatest need, where did she go? She said, I'm returning back to Israel. I'm returning back to my people. I'm returning back to God. And ultimately, that's where the healing begins, especially when times are really tough, really challenging, really difficult. That's when especially we need to seek God, that God would draw near to our hearts to encourage us and help us and bless us in those times of need. We certainly can't control the circumstances of life, but we can control how we respond to those circumstances. That's what faith is all about. Daring to believe that God is working in everything for our good. And that no matter what happens, everything's going to work out just fine. Whether we feel it will be that way or not. Because our lives are in the hands of a very sovereign God who certainly loves us and cares for us and wants to provide for us. And everything give thanks. That's what Paul says. May we even be able to give thanks in the times of challenges and difficulties, because certainly there's times where we fall far short of His glory. But may we be thankful again for His grace and mercy to us when He is that one who sustains us and helps us, especially in the times of our need. I read another story about a mother. And she was going through great, great difficulty. Her husband was a small town jeweler. He did have a loyal clientele and a reputation for fair treatment of his customers. He enjoyed his job. But he was shot to death in his store. He was murdered in cold blood. Someone came in to rob him and murdered him. I mean, can you imagine being in that situation where one that you love is taken in such a dramatic fashion? And on a very cold winter afternoon, his grandchildren were deprived forever of their loving grandpa. A 30-year-old marriage was cut short. Their daughter, the mother of two of their grandchildren, had to depend on her mother's comforting words to help her face the future without bitterness, feeling bitter towards the man who had done such an act. But this mother, she comforted her daughter. And this is what the mother said. She said, before you go to bed tonight, pray for the man who shot your daddy. Pray for him. The fact that he did this shows he does not know Jesus. Even in the most extreme circumstances, this lady had her eyes on Jesus Christ for God's greater glory and purpose, and told her child to pray for this man. He needs Jesus Christ. I mean, how many of us could do the same thing if we were ever in that situation? I mean, we'd probably be praying for cursing. God would curse this person and take their life speedily. But not this lady. She wanted her children to glorify God and not to be overcome with the bitterness that can follow such an act. And anytime someone wrongs us, let us search for the godly response. Because remember, God is that one who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with thee. I mean, even in the book of Isaiah, the Lord said, fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will bless thee, help thee, uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord oftentimes upholds us and helps us, strengthening us. And here's Naomi, who handled a very difficult time in her life with the best response possible. I'm going to return to Israel. I'm going to return to my people. I'm going to return to my God, because that's what I need. May it be our response as well. I mean, maybe there's someone in this meeting tonight, you've gotten away from the Lord. You're not living the way you need to be. And you know it within your heart. And things have become perhaps even difficult for you because you've gotten away from the Lord. There's no happy backslider. And I would exhort you tonight to respond the way that Naomi did here. Get yourself back to the Lord. Get yourself back to Christ. He's always willing to forgive. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His arms are always open to us. May we do so as quickly as possible. And because Naomi had such an attitude, Ruth desired to go to the same place. Now, she did not want to be left behind. She did not want to go back to Moab because she had learned that Jehovah is the only God you can turn to in times of tragedy. There is no other way, no other source of comfort like resting upon the Lord. And last here tonight, Ruth saw that the source of Naomi's strength lay in her faith in the living God. Look at verse 16, where she says, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God." She saw Naomi's faith, even through the good times, the bad times, through it all. And because she had witnessed a woman that had faith, she wanted the very same thing. Our testimonies make an impact on other people. And we can have an influence upon people for bad, for sin, or we can have an influence upon them for godliness, for truth, for the Savior. What is your legacy? What is your testimony? Are you living for Jesus Christ? Is He there in your life? Are you showing Him? And are other people, especially our young people, are they seeing that and saying, "I want the same thing. I want to go on with God. I see what a life with Jesus Christ can do. I want the very same thing." May that also be the testimony of our homes. May that be your testimony, Mother, that as your children see you, they see one who is living out their faith practically, day by day by day. As Ruth saw in her mother-in-law that Jehovah God is superior to all the gods of Moab. I mean, she was not willing to return to the emptiness of an empty faith and empty gods. And this was not because she had no sorrows, no tragedies, no disappointments. Faith did not isolate her from the harsh realities of life. But it was faith that pointed her to that one who can answer all of life's needs. And she wanted God. And really, when you think about it, I mean, when you come in contact with Israel, you come in contact with Messiah, because that's what all the Old Testament ceremonies and the temple sacrifice, and they were all about the coming of Messiah as she came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And she had this faith in spite of all that had happened as they were there in Moab. The Lord was with them. And obviously the Lord had His hand upon Ruth. May the Lord also have His hand upon our children, upon our young people. Be praying that the Lord will have His hand upon your children, upon your young people. And that bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ very, very early in her life. Ruth's conversion is evidence to the sovereign grace of God. For that is the only way sinners can ever be saved, isn't it? By grace. We save through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, even though her background was against her, she was from Moab. She worshipped false gods. Even the god Chemosh was one of them. Accepted even human sacrifices. I mean, that's what the Moabites had involved themselves in. But she left it all. It was all vanity. Doesn't do anything for the soul. She wanted the living bread that came down from heaven. She wanted a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as she sought Christ, Christ met with her and saved her. That's the wonderful thing about being a child of God. Now she was going to trust God, gave him her life because of the influence of her mother-in-law. Naomi made an impact upon her. And this was in the home, the day-to-day living. Mother, remember, you make an impact upon your children. I came across another story about someone who asked a mother whose children had turned out very, very well. And they were wondering, what's the secret? Why did your children turn out so good, so well? And without hesitation, this was her response. She said, when in the morning I washed my children, I prayed that they might be cleansed by the Savior's blood. I washed them, but I was praying that the Lord would do that greater cleansing. Wash them in his precious blood. When I put on their clothes, I prayed that they be arrayed in the garments of salvation and God's righteousness. When I give them food, I pray they might be fed with the bread of life. When I started them on the road to school, I prayed for them. When I put them to sleep, I prayed for them. At every point in the day, she was praying for those children. And God was faithful and answered her prayers, blessed her, and her children were early led to Jesus Christ. What a joy in that mother's heart when her children raise up and call her blessed. May the Lord have such an impact upon our children. Because mothers, your job is to be faithful, is it not? I mean, we can't save our children. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that saves them. But our job is to be faithful, and teaching them in the way that they should go. And when we are faithful, praying that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Because one of Naomi's richest resources was her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And in fact, it was Ruth whom God used and blessed throughout the rest of this book. The story is about Ruth. The fact that she married a very godly husband in Boaz. And later on, then Ruth would become a very godly mother, raising children. And those children would be in the very line of Messiah himself. Read the last chapter, the last verses of Ruth. And Ruth herself is in the line of Jesus Christ. God had a purpose for this woman and for her life. Because she was a woman who trusted God and was totally committed to him. And Naomi soon learned that God's hand of blessing was on this young woman and that he would accomplish great things through her and her obedience. May the Lord bless our children. The Lord would use them for great things for him. That they would be used for the extension of God's kingdom and his glory. That they would not waste their lives in this world in sin and corruption. Mothers, pray. And pray and pray. The Lord will bless your children. Because Naomi gave Ruth a great gift, the greatest of all gifts. Faith in Jesus Christ pointed her to Christ. And God was pleased to save her. And today certainly is the day that we are thankful for godly mothers. For mothers who train up their children in the gospel, who faithfully share the word of God, that the word of God is read in the home. There's a testimony in the home. We're thankful for godly mothers who are raising their children and even godly mother-in-laws that are also making a very positive impact upon their family. Let us always be praying for our families, even praying for those in our families that are outside of Christ. I know there's mothers that are also hurting because their children have not yet come to the Lord. Pray for those ones, that these family circles would be united. God's blessing would be upon our families, because it's very painful to see a young person who is wasting their life in the world. But may we be rejoicing with those who rejoice when we see our young people coming to Jesus Christ, putting their faith in Him, and then desiring to go on to Christian service. May the Lord bless our children. Mothers, you make an impact. Make it count. Make it count for eternity. Point your children to Christ, and you'll never be disappointed. Amen. May the Lord bless His truth to our hearts tonight. I'd like to close our meeting by turning to hymn number 730. 730. Sorry, I apologize. It's 731, not 730. 731. Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught His love and favor and gives his heart to Christ the crucified. How sweet to know that though His footsteps waver, His faithful Lord is walking by His side. Let us stand together as we sing, and we'll just sing the first two stanzas and the last. 1, 2, and 4. Praise and thank Thee for the Lord's Day. What a privilege is ours to spend a day in such a fashion to worship the true and the living God. Oh, Father, we need guidance. We pray that the Spirit of the living God would draw nigh to every heart, that each one would know a portion of thy grace and thy power, that thou, O God, would display thy love towards us in Christ in such a way that we must show that love and return it back unto thee. Father, again, we're thankful that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And Lord, we ask that if there is one in this meeting who knows not Christ, who's not tasted and seen that the Lord is good, not trusted in Christ, we pray that even now that the Spirit of God would come and draw that one even to the Savior. Again, we are thankful for mothers. We're thankful, Father, for those who uphold a godly testimony in the home, that teach their children aright. Lord, help them. Father, it's a very difficult task to raise children, by no means easy. And Lord, we pray that thou'lt undertake for them and help them so that they might know to raise their children in the ways of God, that as the children go older, they will walk in the ways of their mother, trust in the God of their father, and be used of thee for the extension of thy kingdom and for thy glory. And we pray for those children who have not yet come. We pray that in wrath that thou wilt remember mercy, that thou wilt draw them lovingly to thyself, Father, that they would no longer waste their lives in the world in sin and corruption, but that they would be dedicated unto the Lord their God and know his blessing. And so undertake for us now, bring us home in safety. Lord, we pray that even in this new week, we would know the blessings and the power of God upon us for thy truth. For thy truth is that is what matters. So bless thy people, encourage and strengthen every heart here. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may be seated.